The pulse of life is beating in each and every one of us, writes my colleague, Jennifer Johnson. Amidst the clamor of these times, let us heed its sure and steady rhythm. The pulse of life calls us to nourish our bodies with good food and movement, to nourish our spirits with art and song, friendship and tenderness and quiet. How? To do that, I would need to stop and listen, and I cannot do that. There is work to be done. There are gifts to buy and parties to plan and trips to coordinate. The end of year deadlines are crashing down around me. There is no way all those pages will be read, nor will all the required words be written. And oh no, when are we going to decorate? The cards are going to be late again this year. You get the point. Our fellow critters are listening to the pulse of life. They have migrated or hibernated, or at least have enjoyed their rich food and are now settling in for a slower paced winter. It seems that somehow modern American humans have forgotten that this is supposed to be a fallow time of year. We continue to strive, to grind, to work hard. We have yoked the concept of self-worth to the idea of productivity, and uncoupling them seems unthinkable. To choose to let things go undone would be lazy. And what would people think? We live with a perpetual sense of urgency. Anything less is wasting time and offers the potential for missed opportunities. However, there are messages to the contrary from all our spiritual sources. Most of us are more familiar with our principles than our sources, and so I invite you to open your hymnal to the page right before hymn one. There on the left, you will find both our principles and our sources. You will notice the world's religions and the Jewish and Christian teachings. All of these point to the need for rest and renewal. The religions of the East have meditative practices built in as essential, and all the Abrahamic faiths advocate for Sabbath and regular prayer. The earth-centered traditions also listen. They listen to the cycles of nature and call us to slow down and reflect during these short days and long nights. You will see that the humanists suggest that we be guided by reason and science. And well, the science here is pretty clear. Too little rest and too much stress lead to a host of modern ailments for which science has given us medication so that we can keep up the pace. Our first source, the direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces that create and uphold life, is almost inaccessible in the hurried frenzy of our modern world. Those prophetic voices of women and men we will come to at a later point. The good news is you are here today, which means that you understand the value of time set apart from the hustle of daily life. Gathering for worship gives us a chance to experience not doing, not pushing, not striving, just for a little while. Setting aside time each day to renew our spirits can sustain the gifts of worship throughout the week. When I began to practice yoga in college, my first teacher told me that I did not have to set goals or strive for perfection. As long as my practice was consistent and sincere, she said, I would see progress. Being consistent meant that I had to roll out the mat and do at least a few poses every day. Being sincere meant being entirely present, mindfully focused only on what I was doing. And so, for a few minutes each morning, my mind and body practice. Some days it's just a couple of sun salutations. Some days it's longer. I used to practice with my dog. And when he passed, it was on the mat that I was able to most deeply access that loss. The gifts that I have received are nothing that I could have imagined. I have found my body to be sacred space. I have found increased focus throughout my day. I have learned to be open to unexpected results in encounters with others. And I have learned to listen just a little bit better to the pulse of life as it tells me what I need to do and what I need to let go. Hint. If you fall asleep in relaxation pose, you need more sleep. Yoga may not be right for you, but what activities do renew your spirit? Perhaps practicing an instrument like Jonathan, or singing. Maybe creating some form of art or doing a craft is more your style. Spending time in nature may feed you. And for some, traditional practices of daily prayer or meditation or ritual are exactly what are needed. As long as your practice is consistent and sincere, you will see progress. And yes, my dear humanists, science backs up religion on this. Regular spiritual practice leads to lower rates of heart disease, reduces hypertension, lessens the effects of autoimmune diseases, and improves our mental health. Consistently taking the time to stop, to rest, to renew, allows us to turn off the autopilot. We become aware of how our bodies and minds are responding to the things we habitually do, and we gain the energy and focus we need to make changes where necessary. And these changes do not just benefit us. When we slow down long enough to see what we need, we also gain a clearer vision of what is needed to nurture and sustain our relationships. We notice that look that passed quickly across a loved one's face, that one that says, "What you just said was hurtful." And we are given the opportunity to show them our love by saying, "I'm sorry," and changing our behavior. We also notice what is most life-giving in our connection so that we can build more of those activities into our lives. Increasing our self-awareness leads to the deepening of our relationships and the strengthening of our communities. When we find the stillness, Occasionally, we find that less than wonderful feelings are hiding under that flurry of activity and busyness. The more consistently we practice, however, the better we get at staying with these experiences and learning what they have to teach us. We increase our tolerance for discomfort as we embrace needed change. We become more aware of our societal conditioning and the ways in which each of us has internalized misogyny and homophobia and white supremacy and classist elitism. In other words, we increase our capacity and our resilience to do the work of social justice. All the things that those voices of prophetic women and men call us to do. For all of these benefits, can we not find 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe even 20 minutes each day for rest and renewal? To check in and take inventory of the health of our souls. Just a few moments each day to stop and be still, to set down all the doing and just be. To allow us to heed the sure and steady rhythm of the pulse of life. I hope so. In case you do not know where to start, I will leave you this morning with the Buddhist practice of loving kindness meditation. In this practice, we begin in our natural state of wishing all good things for ourselves. May I be filled with loving kindness. May I be well. May I be peaceful and at ease. May I be whole. Then this prayer is offered to others, beginning with those closest to us, those for whom we hold the deepest affection. Of course, we want to offer them loving kindness and well-being. Then the circle of blessing is extended to those that we may not know so well, even those toward whom we may harbor animosity. We continue to extend our desire for all good things for the community, for the nation, and for the world, until all the universe is engulfed in peace and wholeness. Let us practice together now. Once again, I invite you to relax and quiet your mind. Find a comfortable posture, and if it feels safe to do so, close your eyes. Allow your shoulders to fall away from your ears. Release any held tension in your body. Listen as we sing, and allow these blessings to fill your heart and to flow out through you to each other and the world.